afternoon, friends. Let's unite in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, we come unto thee as thy children, thankful that we can assemble together, worshiping you in spirit and in cognition of our identity, realizing that you have ordained the assembling of ourselves together, that you have directed unto us to be aware and to know and to understand what it is that you have ordained, to converse it with thy word, to be able to utilize it as a two-edged sword. We're aware, our Father, that you have established the spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church, for the administration of thy will and thy word among the nations of thy household and of the people that make up thy family. We thank thee, our Father, that in this hour, that as we survey the things through which we pass, that thy word still remains as a lamp unto our way. We are thankful, our Father, that in these courses of events through which we pass, that we can also find our relationship to this tremendous hour in which we live, that we might have awakened to our consciousness again the great and the most powerful and most vital of truths as it relates to the children of thy kingdom and to thy purposes that you would make manifest with them. We pray, our Father, that in this hour also that we shall be enheartened by thy word and by thy works, by the realization that there is nothing that you are withholding from thy children to accomplish thy purposes and for the final defeat of the powers of darkness. Grant us that we might be aware, that we might be ever alert to the strategies of the darkness, but we might also know the tremendous power that is invested in thy sons for victory. So as we meditate upon these conditions, our relationship unto thee, thy great gifts unto us, we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy name we ask it. Amen. It has been a rather eventful week and continues to be. As we meditate upon any of the areas of God's purposes for his people, we cannot overlook the conditions of environment. We are very, very close to tremendous climactic events and prophetic fulfillment. And these patterns engulf the entire world. They relate very much to everything that can be associated with the great nations of God's kingdom and his people, also to certain areas of the earth and certain territories. Even as we assemble here, there is battling on the Israel-Syrian border. Even as we assemble, we have on the third day of such battling in which the Syrian Air Force and the Israeli Air Force have been locked in struggle. There have been more casualties in the last 24 hours between Syria and Israel than there has been in the bitten end in the last 24 hours, except for those who might have drowned. And in the instance of this, the appeal to stop the battle or to have the Security Council of the United Nations meet yesterday was met with a can't-be-troubled attitude, and they won't meet till tomorrow. Actually, we want to point out that there is no trouble between Israeli and Syria that is not of Israeli's making. The foundation, the rudiment of these problems goes back into the way in which Israeli came into possession of a land that does not belong to them, but belongs to you and every white man on the face of the earth as a memorial and as a historic gift from God forever. And we point out the fact that the people that constitute the Arab houses that are descended from Ishmael always had a right to dwell in the midst of their brethren or among them, and always had a historic right to dwell peaceably in Palestine and in its neighboring areas. For this land which your forefathers wrested from the Canaanites, after ages before the Canaanites had destroyed cities which your race had founded, was a part of the will of God. Your existence in America or in Western Europe is also a part of the will of God. Whatever great nations of the white race have established the essence of God's purpose or extended the kingdom, this has been, in his foreknowledge, a part of your destiny. But we at the present time have a situation in Palestine that can never be overlooked. The abomination of the desolator is down in the holy place. And in the signs of the times which mark the climax of an age and tremendous events as they affect God's kingdom, Jesus told his disciples that there would be various signs, the tremendous stepping up of earth movements and seismic disturbance. He told them of the measures of prophecy and of the signs of the heavens And he told them also that one of the things that would be a marked climactic event would be the abomination of the desolators going down into the old holy place. Now at this very moment we have and have had ever since the entrance into Palestine after the war of Israel, which actually, of course, was a Jewish master plan to get this most valuable spot in the earth. We don't say it's the most valuable spot in the earth, but it is a most valuable spot. Its chemical values alone in nitrates and war-making materials have made it one of the great chemical treasure houses of the world. And this is not without its understanding by those that desire it. It's at a great crossroads of the world. At east and west, north and south, and continents near joint, and this is a most significant thing. But as far as Palestine is concerned, remember that at the close of World War I, that the Irgun, bandits, outlaws, and the most vicious type of people on the face of the earth joined as the instruments of political Zionism to seize Palestine. And having seized Palestine illegally and in violation even of the United Nations contracts, and even in disobedience of restraints imposed by the United Nations, and over the murder of United Nations administrators like Count Bernadotte, men who the world had confidence were actually men operating with goodwill. And with the attempt to take over this territory, even to the taking of small minds that lacked the vision and the intelligence, and coercing them to give it official recognition. You must remember that the recognition of Palestine was started by the one BB brain president that stands out for what he didn't know, and that was Mr. Truman. Harry Truman had been coerced by Mr. Horowitz, who had convinced him because of the ignorance of Mr. Truman's Baptist preacher when he raised him, that the Jews must be the chosen people, and they had now seized Palestine, and that if he didn't recognize Palestine for them, he'd be cursed. And if he did recognize it, they'd assure him his re-election. And that if he didn't recognize it and was cursed, he'd probably die because he hadn't helped the chosen people. You say, you think Truman really believed that? Yes, I kind of think he believed that. I think he believed that along with the fact that he also wanted their help for re-election. And then, of course, they'd made him Grand Master of the Jewish Masonic Lodge of Jerusalem if he'd followed through. See, this might have some special blessing, but I don't know what it would be. But Israel's recognition startled Britain. It startled the nations of the Western world because this country had shot its way into power with the greatest brutality. And there is nothing that Israel has ever sought to frame or charge Germany with that she did not surpass in her cruelty to the Arabs and to the Christians dwelling in Palestine when she came in. And in files which we possess on this subject, her photographs and the picture of the violence, the brutality, and the rape and the ruins as it took place by that entrance. The Christian missionaries, men and women alike, their bodies thrown down the wells, contaminating the water, even inside of convents, churches, monasteries. The driving of Christians everywhere to death and destruction with the most viciousness of all time. Then they tried to explain away this viciousness by saying this was a psychological reaction because of what they had endured in the war. The fact remains that we have a never-ending story of Palestinian violence. They drove people out of their homes and away from their vineyards, out into the Negev and into the Egyptian desert without water to die. And Egypt and Arab states had to take upon themselves the sustenance of these people, even to the hauling of water. And the United Nations then became involved, as the Antichrist institutions always would, and partitioned my land, God says. Woe unto any institution or organization that partitions my land. the first place, had there been any intent on the provisions of righteousness or goodwill in the face of this gangster outlaw country, they would have ousted the Jews immediately out of Palestine. But they could not stop, of course, the measures of prophecy or the fulfilled pattern of satanic desire to usurp the place of Israel or the land of the existence, nativity, and lifespan of the man Christ Jesus. In this instance also, their master strategy of deceit over the nations of the world, falsely claiming to be identified with the very foundation of Christian culture and Christian society, of which they had no part but to contaminate or destroy as far as it was possible. But it wasn't possible to destroy the living stone, any more than it was possible to eliminate Christ with a crucifixion or to stay the power of his resurrection. Nor has Lucifer ever stopped using his ancient people to carry out the catastrophe program of desolation. And I cite to you, as we find again the war clouds boiling around the areas of Palestine, that we must remember again the words of Jesus, the abomination of the desolator down in the holy place. There has been no area of desolation greater than World War I and World War II, and the desolations coming now in World War III. And all of these desolations are the responsibility of Satan's own household, world Jewry, or Zionism and Israel allies. I point out their hand in the creation of the conditions of World War I, their hand in the encirclement and crushing situations that produced World War II, the false reports, the propaganda, the manipulation of men by control of the medium of education and of communication, their control in press and in radio, their lying propaganda, their use of motion picture studios to even present photographs right from the front that were phony and made right here in Culver City. All of this are a part of the background of what now continues to be a prophetic hour. When Jesus said to people that would go back into Palestine with the abomination of the desolator in the holy place. They have been the desolator. People find that this is not the destiny of Israel. But in this hour in which you and I now live, we are to emerge as great nations in God's kingdom. And these nations were to be identified with the identity of their faith in Jesus Christ. So I make a new covenant in the house of Israel and the house of Judah in those days, that I'll put my spirit in them, and I'm going to identify them as such. And the Apostle Paul, talking about the embracing of the gospel by the peoples of Western Europe, talking about its acceptance by the true men of Judah and Benjamin, the Apostle Paul said this is the thing that was being spoken of. This was the new covenant that had been referred to. And so the covenant that was made, referred to in Jeremiah, the covenant that was related to the vision of Joel, is fulfilled with the true house of Israel and the true house of Judah. And we are living in a climactic hour in which prophecy has cited that having passed the point of the sign of the Son of Man, the heavens, and we've moved almost to the midst of the following week, that the forces of darkness and the powers of evil animated by satanic design are seeking now to bring their power to full. By the same instance also, the chastising judgments in defense of righteousness and truth will move from the presence of the Most High and will move upon the powers of darkness and the forces of evil, even as God says to the elimination of many of them, which he will snatch out and cut off quickly in the midst of his people. There's every enemy that you have in America that wants to destroy America is only one heartbeat from the presence of God. Don't forget that. He said that he can prune off anything that's unfruitful, and he can bring about with precipitation the elimination of the areas of trouble. So we look out over a world, and as it moves into another stage of problem around Palestine, and we know what the end thereof, and this will also be, because this will be a great sea of struggle and battle before it's over. And unfortunately, your president has made an assurance to Israel ally that we will defend the Jews. I want you to know that Americans should protest to their chief employee don't make any commitment for us when they start it. Why should we defend them? Why should any Christian be called upon to defend the enemies of Jesus Christ anywhere at any time? Technically, every Christian should be a conscientious objector when it comes to a war involving Israel allies. Not on the basis of hostility towards battle, or hostility towards fighting our enemies, or hostility towards defending our nation. This is the obligation of every intelligent citizen of the kingdom of God. To battle communism, to battle evil, to battle the enemies of our faith, anytime and anywhere, but not defense, to pour out the lifeblood of God's kingdom, defending His enemies, that said His blood be on us and our children. But then, they asked for it. In the midst of this week again, we can see certain things that must be brought to attention. The retaliation which is being planned against great congressmen because they stood out for principle, to be read out of their party, to be broken, to be eliminated from all committees, to be treated with hostility. This is a proper image of the administration. The suggestion now that with the secured majority that they're going to sweep away right-to-work laws, and they're going to sweep in Medicare, and they're going to try to pass in areas of legislation in social and civil rights, social acts and civil rights, that will be implemented by the creation of a type of court to bring immediate judgment and punishment upon those that seek to obstruct or criticize. The Ogpu raises its head. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in these United States as a result of this. There's somewhere between 25 and 26 million people that have had the courage to say no. And these people are alert, and these people are resistant, and they haven't sold out for the promises of Social Security, which they question the value of. They haven't sold out for fear that it would mean nuclear war. Of all the facets of lying propaganda, the design that a change of administration was going to end all areas of social strength or any area of economy or protection to our society, or was going to involve us in a disastrous war in order to accomplish a certain political objective. All wars have a political objective, but let's point this out. Your administration right now is either faced very, very shortly with war anyhow, or it's acting with complete perfidy. If you don't believe this, what do you think we had McNamara and McCloy over in Germany for? Now planning on seeing that we supply them with jet aircraft and with nuclear missiles and with equipment. And why are they getting ready to supply us with the greatest amount of automatic weapons that we've ever purchased from a foreign country? What for? Because there's not going to be any trouble, because it's going to be new frontier peace under the grand design. I don't think for one moment there's any hostility in my part by cause of any alliance made between America, Germany, Britain, or any white nation in the Western world. We should have alliances so strong and military power so great that nobody on the face of the earth would dare upset its balance. I point out to you that fast and with great speed now these things move. The duplicity that we see before us, however, is an overwhelming design to not only suppress your racial identity, to force mass processes of integration, socially and physically, until they have eliminated the identity of your race, eventually redistributed the strength of your nations. This is the master design of the enemy. This is the strategy of the world revolutionist. This, my friends, is the strategy of the socialists. And I can even turn to United States News, and they seem to think that America has just given a mandate to the government to go socialist. First page, U.S. News. America has given a mandate to socialism. We all must abide by this decision. Well, I've got some news for them. But there is very small delineation between socialism and communism, and I hope that there's 25 million people that remember this and have not given a mandate for the destruction of our nation. For the very entrapment, irrespective of objectives held out, that would confiscate your private enterprise and your personal liberty, the control of your property, the structure of your society, and the voting strength of your people. By suppressing you in a world organization in which you no longer will have representative balance power, but by even the design for the admission of Red China speedily, supposedly to control her, she controls the destiny with her red orbit forever of the United Nations. These things are coming fast. They're stepping up fast. They also mark the day on which we live. I point out to you that there isn't any question about the fact that there are some things that need to be straightened out real fast in the United States. I have the record, the story of what transpired lately with a very brilliant American with a very fine war record and a good officer. He returns to his home in Tennessee and he participates in his local society. He becomes a lay speaker in the Methodist Church. He runs up for the next top post inside the American Legion in his state. He fights communism. And then the Syndicate of Evil, with federal assistance, move in to destroy this man if they can. They harass his business. Then, my friends, as he is leaving in one mission to carry an expose of communist design, they force their way into his car at gunpoint. They drive him over to, force him to drive over by the Mississippi River. They herd him out on a bridge. And then as they take him out of the car, communist agents, and as they slug at him and knock him down between the two cars, he looks up and the car from whence the slugging attackers come is United States government. On the right. Then he's clubbed over the head, and then the second time he forgets. He comes to, he's in the Mississippi River, and only the grace of God kept him from being killed by the attack, and he's able to make his way, kicking and swimming, to shore. There are people residing by, and a dog that hears him attracts them. His life is spared, and this is his experience. This is what happened, and this is what he reports to the police. And we begin to realize that we have right inside our own government, even using the instruments of our government, using the equipment of our government, our individuals, that we should have a concentration camp. And so we shouldn't discuss something like this on Sunday. We better discuss it on any chance we have to discuss these things while they're still discussing time. This is just one of the pictures of design. That mass design is being lifted up as total opposition and total crushing against any who will not embrace the society of Africa, Asia, Malaysia, Eurasia, and Indonesia. Rolling together one vast mongrelization of the white race, with only a elite corps, less than 4% at the top. How you could get an elite corps of Jews, I'll never understand. With a few agents in the middle that are their instruments. There are some things, however, out of this timetable that we must recognize. The resistance God calls for is the opposition of evil God requires. The history of your civilization and culture is Bible-founded. The heroes of the Bible are occupiers, men of strength and men of vision, and men that moved against the enemy, even with resistance that you might classify as violent. The great men of faith, which means putting into action the things which they heard, the instructions which were of God, and the vision of God's blueprint, include men like David. And the great patriarchs that are referred to in the book of Hebrews. And if there's anything that stands out in the book of Hebrews concerning these men of faith, it is the fact that they had absolute assurance and vision as to their responsibilities in carrying out the program of God. One thing I note here is that God said, these are men of faith of whom the world is not worthy. After all, you're a race of strangers and pilgrims in the ark. God put over your consciousness the forgetfulness of yesterday that you might stay here. Otherwise, the knowledge and technical wisdom they gave you, you would have left. You'd have gone back where you came from. But he said that because of this, therefore, you're still here. Because you don't remember how to get back. And as strangers and pilgrims of which the earth was not worthy, out of your race came patriarchs and leaders. And the battle always was to destroy this household of God's kingdom, this family of His. That's why here in the book of Hebrews it tells us that these great heroes of your race turned back the armies of the aliens. I'd like to see that done again. For the word used for the classification of aliens here are men who are not of your faith and not of your race. Never assimilatable. Their absorption and integration is catastrophe, mutation, loss of vision and spiritual capacities. We point out then that God has not called for pacifism. He has not called for you to not resist. He has called for you to rise and with dynamic power as the sons and daughters of God to cleanse your nation, to lift up divine standards, and to move forward with power. We talk about the most valuable gift. If you're acquainted with the Apostle Paul's message in Corinthians, the first Corinthians in the 12th chapter, he talks about gifts of the Spirit and all the gifts of God which come out of the heavens to you have to be gifts of Spirit. Because they come from a God of Spirit to an offspring of Spirit. Originally begotten in the heavens, as Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John, now physically embodied in the earth, and the kinsmen of God, as Paul tells you in the 2nd chapter of Hebrews, and then by the quickening of His Word are regenerated in the seat of their consciousness by the work of His Spirit. That people who are what they are because of who they are, from whence they have come. Probably there is nothing that is more valuable to you, nothing that you can possess today that is of greater value, and it is the gift of God through the processes of His Spirit to yours. And that, my friends, is cognition of His knowledge and of His will. An enveloping understanding of your identity and your relationship with His plan and what that consists of. This ability for divine communication and for spiritual comprehension is the greatest gift that your race possesses or that you individually possess. And this ability upon your part to move into this area of cognition, until there is no secret thing that shall be withheld, no area of understanding that shall be refused, but all that is known unto the mind of the Father is open for you as it relates to the purpose and the plan of His kingdom. There are many gifts of the Spirit that are referred to in the book of Corinthians, the 12th chapter. They're all byproducts of the Spirit developing of certain peculiar capacities of those that are the children of God. Each and every one of these administrations are excellent. The sum total of them comprise the great spiritual strength of the spiritual center of His kingdom, His church. And I want you to understand that the overwhelming, continual flow of spiritual cognition is an unspeakable gift from God that is more vital, more important than anything else you may understand. And therefore, your understanding of your identity with Him in Spirit, your identity as His household in the earth, and the ability to think His thoughts and to reach into this consciousness that knows all things for all answers is the most important thing you possess. We turn inside the writings of James. And James' association, of course, as the child of Mary, and therefore the brother of Jesus, he is a significant one because a most active and brilliant man with a deep understanding of the laws of God. And with great inspiration, and he writes, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. What do we mean when we say every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, the Father of luminaries? It's talking about individuals whose consciousness is illuminated because they are children of the God of light. And he lighteth every one of them that cometh into the world. If you turn to the writings of John in his gospel, you will read that he is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now this word applies to the Athene that have descended down out of the Adamic race, the Adamites. These are the people that Christ calls. These are the people that make up the white race. These are the people that make up the great nations of the Western world and the Christian civilization. If he said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me, and the white race has come. Someone said, yes, but the ends of the world are also listening. Every once in a while, we get some out of Asia, we get some out of Africa. That's right. He didn't say that everybody came would be a man, but he said, if I be lifted up, all men come. The word human means spirit man. Even the Egyptians, recognizing this in the days of your advent into their land, when Enoch and Job built the great city of On, erected the great temples to God, and participated in erecting the great pillar and altar of the land of Egypt. You remember at that time they called you the children of Osiris, the Ka or soul of Ra. Ra is the god of light. You say, that meant the sun. No, that sun was only an emblem of a god of light, whose vitality, whose light, whose energy, whose knowledge held the universe together. And they recognized your race and were thankful, who understood the ancient wisdom out of the books of Horus and of the ancient mysteries of the promises that had been made long before even the coming of the Adamic race, that I shall place my children in bodies of flesh, they shall build again my altars, they shall set the captives free, they shall tear the ends of the earth again to serve and turn to Yahweh, they shall perform miracle in thy midst. This is in the ancient writing, it's pre-Adamic. After the sinking of continents and the catastrophe of Luciferianism, we point out to you that there is something that you possess that you must continue to understand, that you must continue to use. And that is being children of the Spirit. As you're told in Peter, you have been born of incorruptible seed. Not a corruptible seed that can die, but incorruptible seed by the very issue will of God who brought it out of himself. And it lives forever. He tells you, therefore, being begotten, not of the corruptible things, but of the incorruptible things, incorruptible seed. Now, you can't corrupt incorruptible seed. It wouldn't make a difference what you try to do. Incorruptible seed cannot be corrupted. As far as the spirits of the Adamic race, they have never been corrupted. As far as their soul consciousness, it has been subordinated to Luciferian deception. Their physical bodies have taken upon themselves the curse. They have lost the aura of divine glory and as children of light, lost the outer light, but not the inner seed. They're not only twice born, but reactivated. And under this instance, the Most High God calls on you, therefore, to recognize what it is he's bestowed. When Jesus, having consummated an at-one-ment or an atonement, and prophesying concerning this atonement that he would consummate, said after this, he was going to send this great intelligent cognition back upon the soul consciousness of his people to bring all things to their remembrance that reaches back into the endless ages when they were with him from the beginning. It leads them into the knowledge of all truth that reaches out into the tomorrows. And when he said, this is what I'm going to do for you, but I've got to consummate first in this atonement, the reopening, the unlocking, the removal of the veil, so that I can restore to you with my atonement this which I have promised to restore, because I must bring you again to completion. I will bring you many sons out of your captivity, mentally and spiritually, back into freedom. That's why the psalmist declared that he would do this for the captives. This is why the scripture said that he would not only give good gifts unto the sons of man, but this was the important thing. Why was it important that God reactivate to those that were his household this area of cognition, so that they would have unlimited spiritual capacities, unlimited mental powers, unlimited know-how, and unlimited association with these things for the drive of his purpose? They had been severed by a violation of divine law, would be restored by God who puts all things together. I point out to you that there exists among the children of God a capacity of perception that's not found with anybody else. Now, someone said, you mean then that the white race possesses something nobody else possesses? Yes, they possess the cognition of God's Spirit for the thing God intended to do, because they were his offspring. Others were his creation. They were his offspring. And I'm referring back to these words in James in the first chapter, the 17th verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of the luminaries and the lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us. Of his own will begat he us. He came to empower sons and daughters that received him, who were born not based of the will of man or the will of the flesh, but of the will of God, to empower them with all that belonged to them as his sons, to keep his covenant with Adam, their forebearer, to consummate his purpose in the earth. Of his own will begat he us. Now, this is why you have all through this Old Testament and new special instructions to see that this household have begat, retained all of the magnificent equipment with which they had been, as the issue of God, prepared for the building of his kingdom and the liberation of the earth. So there isn't any difference between the bodies of a white man or the bodies of an African, the bodies of an Oriental. Then let me tell you something. You're talking out of total ignorance. Today we have brainwashed psychiatrists, philosophers today in psychological areas of propaganda waves, who are today a part of a world order revolution, trying to tell you there isn't any difference. But there's difference in the convolutions of the brain material alone, just like there's difference in the fingerprints. There's difference in the ability, there's difference in the activation of the inner consciousness and the ganglion of nerves we call the third eye. There's a difference, my friends, in the wavelengths of mental energy that falls into the classifications of remembrance and the classifications of planning and of vision, or mentoid energy. If anyone tells you that there isn't any difference, then they are acting out of ignorance. Those that I know, lots of white men that are not so smart. There are a lot of white men that are asleep, and a lot of white men that are in apathy. And there are a lot of them God's waking up, and a lot of them that are being called by his Spirit back to an understanding and a use of their power. When I tell you that you are in a period of prophetic measure, in these latter days, in the days when the abomination of the desolator would be in the holy place, in the days when the pillar of fire and umbrella of smoke would mark you in the atom age of the prophet Joel. In such a period of time, God said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon my sons and upon my daughters. And when this Spirit descends, Jesus said, talking about the same wave of energy, he said, it'll bring back to them all truth, it'll lead them into the knowledge of all truth. Even this Spirit that the world cannot receive. The strategy of the world then is you take the equipment make it impossible for a continuity of this kingdom with its superior vision, its superior knowledge, its achieving technology, and its vital response to its Father. We must destroy it by absorption, by mongrelization, by transition, by change. We must dislocate any capacity of it to use even the equipment physical to carry out its responsibilities. This is Luciferian. This is what he's been doing from the beginning. This is what he's attempting to do now. So under this instance, we catch this pattern. Now let me tell you this. That this consciousness of the Spirit involves a knowledge of everything. Of all things as they are, of all patterns. This, my friends, is what we refer to when we talk about righteousness. You know, lots of people, when they think about righteousness, they have a concept of somebody who is so perfect that they just can hardly do anything. They don't move. They must be somewhere on a chair, enveloped in glory, maybe a harp in their hand, see? You know what righteousness is? It is a flow of existence so completely in the consciousness of the individual, in tune with the purpose of God, the plan of God, the knowledge of God, that it lives in this knowledge. This is righteousness. Doesn't mean that righteousness cannot involve areas of mistake by the physical being, but it's not by the intent of the heart of the individual. You know that Abraham was no different than you are as a man, but God imputed his righteousness to him and gave him this thriving vision in force because he believed God and moved out on it. The great stream of righteousness, this is the proceeding energy of faith from the throne of God, pours out upon you. And when we talk about God's plan and God's purpose for this hour, it involves you and I understanding that righteousness is living with cognition of the laws of God, of the synthesis of the universe, with an awareness of our relationship to His synthesizing spirit, to His vitality, to His life, to our family, and to our Father. It develops such a wave of love and a wave of appreciation and a wave of responsibility that to live is Christ. Let me point this out to you. Righteousness embraces all things as they should be, as they are made. One proton, one electron, one hydrogen atom. You can go on down through the whole course of the structure of the material substance, but this is the law. You perceive it, you know it, if you seek after it. Today this is important to the physicist, to the chemist, to the informant. But I point out to you that there are millions of people in total apathy that don't know anything about this, but their lack of knowledge on this does not change it. There are a lot of people that don't understand the laws of God. They don't understand the mighty purpose. They don't understand that He placed this seed to grow up as His family, to make nations, to build a kingdom, to establish righteousness and justice to the ends of the earth, to rule the earth under the divine law and with God. I point out, therefore, that we look out over our society. We can well say there's probably here in this society that an overwhelming majority are still in apathy and still asleep and don't understand. However, there has been a balance of awareness moving over to the understanding that something's wrong, because they said over half of the nation was moving into what they call the right wing. You don't have to be ashamed of that. That means that you're on the right side. The left wing is the wrong side. We're not ashamed of identity with that which is right. We're ashamed of the nation that it doesn't make a more distinct stand with it. There are thousands upon thousands of people that know what's right, but they sold a little area of their self-respect in order to buy some temporary security and pass the problems on to their children. I point out to you that there is no secret thing that is withheld from you. The restoration of glory, light, and power, the inspiration of His Spirit, the understanding of what God has at work is for His household. With this comes some of the great assured and restored blessings of the end of this age. With it comes new vitality, new life, a divine purpose. Well, we're not just taking some area of exaggerated religious anticipation when we talk about a day when there'll be no more wrinkles, no more spots, no more blemishes, no more aging tissue, but a great area of spiritual power and providing maturity for the people of God. You know that's a part of God's purpose when He wakes them up, when He unlocks the center of their consciousness from the great spiritual area of force, when the great milliamps of energy activate and quicken every atom of their being, when they stop blocking the great life work of God by not opening the door. That's going to block in here. You know what the block is? The block comes from not being aware of knowledge because they didn't seek after it, because they never acquired enough appetite or enough understanding or enough comprehension about what there was to apprehend. You know, there's just millions of people around you that don't know anything about the great wisdom and mysteries and knowledge of God. Now, there hasn't been anything we ever tried to find out that we haven't found out, now has there? Now, you just stop and think about anything we've really gone after. It doesn't make any difference whether it was in the invisible area of biology or whether it moved into the areas of bacteriology, which we didn't even know existed when we started, but we wanted to see. Men ground lenses, men build instruments, men discovered, men recorded, men evaluated. That is human, not Africa, Asia, white men. Everything we have probed, we have been able to discover, though there are things yet to be discovered, but we're still going after the knowledge thereof. They have built the instruments which in themselves are tremendous to demonstrate the tremendous abilities of the mind to conceive and to be inspired by the area of knowledge which moves forth from the Father, because no other race does it. I point out to you that we not only build these instruments and develop them, and then we use them and we add to knowledge and we discover the facts which are all recorded in the righteousness of the law. Now you can say there are a lot of people that wouldn't even understand what we're talking about today. They go to work, they come home, they eat, they amuse themselves, they pick up a magazine if it's not too heavy, they watch the television screen and get propagandized. They don't discern because they have never opened up the areas of discernment. But inside of them is still the capacity to be awakened, and God can bring this to cognition. Sometimes startling things and tremendous chastisements have to fall upon people to challenge them to awakening, to get them to start to think. I'd call my sheep by name. I can lead them out. And He's promised that He's going to raise up people and He's going to utilize them with pointing out the waves of knowledge and perception, and they're going to seek to these things. Now let me point out, there's no doubt that this is one of the greatest eras that anyone ever lived in. And anything that we have the idea and want to do, we can accomplish. We have started in the last two decades to reach into space. We have put in orbit around the Earth satellites moving at tremendous speeds. We have put spacecraft into the universe outside of our solar system. We talk now about going to the moon. We'll go to the moon. Someone says, what about Mars? Yes, we can go to Mars. We can go to any part of the universe that we want to if we work at it. Someone says, well, this is a tremendous waste of money. Well, that's only a comparative value. I think the greatest waste of money is when you support your enemies. As far as man's investment in attaining the objectives which he wants is to travel in space, money is only relative to energy and output. Everybody can't work on this, and so all people can contribute some of their own energies, that those that can work on it can finish the task if this is what they want to do. And we have gone, as you well know, from deciding that if hot air had rifting power, then we entrapped it and watched it rift, and we made balloons. And we were intelligent enough to make hot air balloons. Anyone doing this in Africa? Then we decided that if that worked, gas worked better, and we used gas. And sometimes this was dangerous because the hydrogen caught on fire. And we soon discovered, along with the planing capacities and lifting powers of the Cambridge of surfaces, how to skim and sail, and how to make gliders and aircraft, and we powered it with gasoline motors. And we gain more knowledge of energies and its control. We move to jets, and from jets to rocketry. And now to atomic engines. This last week, the announcement, our atomic engines will soon be capable of 5 years of constant running in space. You better have something to run long enough to get you back, anyhow. And I tell you, we're still in our infancy. For those who are of our forebears in celestial planes, those who are of our households, who have been coming and going throughout the universe, throughout the endless ages of yesterday, and you've forgotten how you did it. And if it were brought back to your cognition right now, a whole lot of people would get on these craft just like Noah, and they'd leave. God hasn't planned a Noah exodus for you. He's planned a total victory over the enemy for you. And then transportation anywhere afterwards, but victory first. The kingdom. So I said, wouldn't you rather leave first? No, I'd particularly rather stay and win first. I don't mind it here. I hear so many people want to leave. They want to leave because they don't have a responsibility. They haven't caught in their cognition what they're here for. I point out to you that all of these areas of achievement start with your knowledge, your know-how, maybe stolen by spies as others designed to use your powers to conquer you. These are areas of know-how. This comes out of that gift of spiritual enlightenment that relates to all of the earth, the universe, and the things of God that can only descend upon a people when they're aware of the channels of vision. Now, you think that you've watched great mythical powers. When you start transferring these areas of reconstructive strength, when you start unlocking these doors of the spirit which have been promised to you until it energizes you, it gives you physical strength, it gives you a great synchronization between spirit, soul, and body, it raises a society and a generation at the climax of this hour that the world has never had to cope with anything like this before for good. The enemies don't like it because they can't destroy it. I point out to you now why I tell you that there is no greater responsibility on you than to preserve your race and to preserve it separate for the purpose God has established it in the earth. And I tell you that God will not only empower and stir your society, but it's going to challenge it to use all of its wisdom and all of its knowledge to defend the preservation of this race, that it might carry on and do the thing which God has charged it with the knowledge to do. So he says, suppose they make laws against it in this land, then we'll repeal those laws, or we'll impeach the makers. Someone said it can't be done, well, the host of heaven will step in and help us do it then. For you to understand what's in the mind of God, to understand the mysteries of the universe, to know all things which he said he leads you to knowledge of, so wraps you up with carrying out the blueprint of God and the purpose of God that the great cause drive of your life is to carry out this occupation of the earth for God. This preservation of a race, this preservation of contact, this spiritual center with thus saith the Lord, and said, my friends, of the philosophies of men designed to destroy your faith and to mutate your destiny. They admit today that there's a struggle on in America. They tell us that they will be capable of suppressing the resistance. They tell us today that they're trying to build a grand design, a new world order, that loses us even the right to possess our culture, to retain our property, to ordain our society. They do not understand what God intends to do with the quickening, awakening, empowering of his sons. I'm going to tell you this, I'd rather have 25 million people that have bucked the stream of evil, that have stood out against the thing that's wrong, that are not about to sell themselves for a promise that will eventually not be fulfilled by Luciferianism. I'd rather have the people that are alive than all the people that have been asleep or have acquiesced, that don't know where they're going, and stand floating in apathy in the control of the enemy. God took Gideon. Challenged Gideon to summon people to combat the enemy for the victory of God, and then sent home the majority of all of them. They only had 300 of them left. Why? Because it was better to have 300 know where they were going, what they were there for, than to have thousands in your way when the fighting starts. So we said, Dr. Swift, the church lives in peace and light and truth. The church is to carry out its ministry of the gospel, the church isn't to think of fighting. Now let me tell you something. You better put on the whole armor of God and find out what it's all about, because there is a battle ahead, and the challenge is to Christian soldiers. Yes, there's a peace, a deep one in our hearts and souls. In fact, it doesn't make any difference what the enemy says about it. He can say all manner of mean things. They don't care whether he does it on a Joe Pine program or where he does it on some other program. In fact, when I see the way some of these programs treat their guests, I wouldn't want them to be good to me, because if they were, I'd be ashamed of myself. But I want you to know that there is a master strategy right now to try to smear and attack the people of God. And there is a design to try to suppress their influence, and there is a design across America to downgrade patriots. I want you to be real alert. You want to know how to tell leadership from fathead? See that having aligned themselves with right, if in the areas of political defeat they try to find a new alignment, for the people that want a new alignment, that want to sell out a little and share the center, are already too far gone. That doesn't mean that they can't participate under leadership that shall come, but they're not ready for leadership now. There isn't anything, my friends, quite like somebody that suffers a defeat in one battle and then wants to organize a new army or rejoin the other side, or bring them together. I want to get this across to you this afternoon. Living is thinking awareness. There is nothing more important for you to understand than who you are and what the plan is, the knowledge of God. You are knowledge. This body is the instrument you live in. It's the vehicle that takes you where you want to go. The vehicle you use to accomplish your objectives. The hands are important. The feet are important. Every part of it's important. You live on the inside of it. And you take care of it and you feed it because you want a way to get around. You want to stay here. But if something happens, why, you still live on the side. You lose a hand, you're still there. You don't consider that you're gone. You've lost an instrument you need. If you get injured, well, the body may be sick, but you on the inside are vibrant with the fact that you're a reality. You have a celestial vehicle for dimensions of light, and you have a celestial consciousness that's tuned in to bring you the receptivity of the mind will of God, even as your physical brain brings you the sense patterns that are recorded by the senses. But for you, living is your experiences, it's your knowledge, it's your awareness. That's why I tell you there are a lot of people that are only half alive today, because they have never become aware of this great, fathomless area of knowledge and wisdom and purpose that makes living so much to you. And the more you know of God, the more you embrace it, the more vital it becomes, the more this becomes a way of life, it becomes a process. Now the world tells you that the hail fellow well met, that the good fellow, the acceptable person of society, is this person that only half knows what it's all about and doesn't even challenge them when they say, we're the only ones equipped to lead you. Lucifer wants a people who have already been sown like a sheep. He doesn't care how much religion you have if it doesn't open up any light. He doesn't care how much you have if it doesn't challenge you to reach in and receive your heritage. He doesn't care what you have if it has no resistance to it. So I point out to you today that the difference between you and the rest of the world is being the offspring of God, and they the creations under fall, and you under restoration. You under an atonement, and you to carry out the will of God. And since awareness and consciousness and the knowledge of truth and the knowledge of divine purpose and the knowledge of yesterday and tomorrow is a demand that you hunger for, and you have to feed on every word of it. And you reach out for the great vitality of it, and you learn to understand the laws of its spiritual force, and you utilize it. And you look around, you feel sorry for people that live in the half-blue, of only thinking with the senses, and listening to the world. This is why I tell you that there are great numbers of people in this great blessed land that have not gone in and out and find pastures. They've never grazed by the still waters. They don't know what a restored soul is. But this is the seat of consciousness in adjustment with God, with a vision, and with a destiny. So I tell you that since existence is knowing, it's awareness of existence, it's awareness of identity, awareness of origin, aware of purpose, and on fire with this purpose, then, my friends, the most important thing you can know is all that you can gain of the science, the wisdom, the purpose of God, this flowing conscious awareness, which is knowledge, and which is His righteousness. And you become clothed with it, and you become energized with it, and you become empowered with it. And you'll set your nation free with it. And you'll conquer all the powers of darkness with it. And you'll rule over the earth from one end of the world to the other with it. Because God has ordained it. So this is His gift again. With its total restoration of the light that is essential, the involvement that follows, the enveloping glory, the majesty of a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. I tell you that you're in the midst of a tremendous historic event.